Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code DNVR when you sign up. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the DNVR Rockies podcast. I've got Spencer Smith here with me. I'm Susie Hunter. Spencer, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing wonderful. We've got the quadruple S, the Susie Spencer Sagittarius show.
Yes. I cooked that one up. Go. Oh, I love that. Thank you for cooking it.
There's not many things I can cook. That is one of them.
Oh my gosh. And we've got Alyssa producing too. So it's going to be a day. I told her that I was extra annoying today. I'm feeling extra annoying today. She's like, great. I'm extra irritated. Let's go.
Just a perfect combo.
We are the perfect combo. We are the yin and yang.
Good morning.
Good morning. She's like, leave me out of this. We have so much to talk about today. We have WBC stuff. We got to talk about Gabriel Hughes' first Cactus League start, that first round draft pick from last year. And we've got some injury updates. We've got some roster updates. And we're going to get into the WBC because that is just like the big event tonight. But yeah, let's start with Gabriel Hughes because this is a guy the Rockies picked in the first round. He went a lot higher than a lot of people expected him to go. But he was cooking last night. He was absolutely cooking. Three innings pitched, four strikeouts, only one hit allowed. So he said he was pretty amped up about it. I mean, he's a young guy. He's 21 years old. He's still a kid. So he's like obviously super excited, super amped up, but we got to hear from him after the game, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, that felt incredible. You know, it feels like making your debut, but there are no words to describe how much fun it was to go out there and just play baseball. You know, it passed in a blur pretty much, but I was really happy. As soon as I got off the field, I just looked around and was like, okay, did it. One step, on to the next. But yeah, no, I was feeling really good out there, and I was definitely amped up. I'd been hoping for the opportunity in spring training. I'm really thankful that I got the opportunity, and I was just like, okay, let's start planning for it. Let's start prepping for it. Why not? You know, why not have it be the Dodgers? I'm going to face them eventually, so why not get it out of the way right now? I think the next thing I'm working on is just breathing out there. I think there were times when I got really amped up and I was moving really fast and kind of got a little ahead of myself, started leaving some pitches up, but next thing is to work on is just breathing, staying calm out there, getting on top of those nerves and everything, and just going out and being consistent.
Just a kid, just a baby. But yeah, he seems confident.
Yeah, it's always good to see a guy come out and not get shelled in his first real major league debut. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I love about baseball is, in general, when somebody can go against a team like the Dodgers, like, it's a meaningless game, but for him it means everything right now where he has at his career. And individually, like, yes, the game overall is meaningless, but I guarantee you every Dodger that stepped up to the plate was fighting for something too. So it's not like he just went out there in a game that mattered to no one and felt good about himself. Like, there's actually great things you can pull from this game. Mm-hmm.
I think he also mentioned too, like, you know, seeing those big names, seeing, you know, you're pitching against like actual Los Angeles Dodgers. They win the division every year, almost every year, but still. And he was just like, you know what? I don't even see that. It's just like me and my catcher out there. I'm like, okay, yes.
Yes. So love focused. That. And this is like his first real major league time ever. Right. Cause I think he had like one bullpen session, and then he got rained out. Like, he was supposed to start and it got rained out, I'm pretty sure. So
he hasn't even pitched any minor league games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So this was his first game.
It's wild. And especially for a guy, he pitched at Gonzaga, so you know he's been, you know, college competition-wise, but pro competition-wise, just go out there and go against the Dodgers. Why not?
Throw
him
to
the fire.
Yeah. I like that he said that it felt like a debut. It kind of was. I'm like, also, it like, was your first, like, spring training game. But, like, yeah, like, the big league guys got their first look at you.
Yeah.
And we like what we see.
Exactly. That's a great foot to start out on for him.
Yes. And of course, we know Buddy, big pitchers guy, you know, he had a lot to say about Gabe's, that's what he calls him. He calls him Gabe, by the way. Super cute. I love when a guy has a nickname.
Nickname guy.
But yeah, Buddy had a lot to say about Gabriel Hughes' first start too. Let's hear it.
I was impressed. You know, obviously I was excited for Gabe to pitch tonight. You know, I met him last summer after the draft. That whole draft class was impressive. You know, for me, Gabe stood out in a lot of ways. Saw him this winter, was impressed when I saw him throw some bullpen sessions. So I'm excited for him. And you know, what I liked about it was the teammates. You know, the guys were excited for him. And he came out and he pitched a very nice three innings tonight in an exhibition game against the Dodgers. It was fun. Obviously, from our scouting reports and our amateur scouts who saw him, that's what they saw. A guy that, you know, pitches aggressively with the fastball, has a good breaking ball, is on the attack, and we saw that tonight. He was a guy that was on everybody's radar as a potential high draft pick. You know, the guy is, you know, I think, you know, ready for these challenges as he starts his process to hopefully become a major league pitcher. Well, change-ups today, you know, they looked fine, didn't throw a lot of them, but, you know, it's going to be a pitcher eventually with a good fastball and a hard slider and a couple other weapons. But, you know, right now his best stuff is the fastball slider, which is fine. And, you know, he'll continue, like all pitchers, to work on his craft.
Also, Buddy wearing breaking out the glasses yesterday. He had a glasses day.
He's just, like, tired.
He's like, exhausted. Like, I just got back from Vegas. I'm so tired.
No contacts today. I'm just throwing the glasses in there.
All the dry air.
Yeah, Arizona's known for that. He's like, nope.
Nope.
He needed to get a real good, clean look at Gabriel Hughes all day.
Yes. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, I'm excited to see Gabriel Hughes eventually.
Can we just, like, see him this year?
I would seriously doubt it, especially because, I don't know, we got to talk to Patrick now about bringing down the venometer, because now Veen has been reassigned to minor league camp.
Yeah, I obviously the signing of Profar is big. It's a big, you know, big name. You can say whatever you want about where he's at in his career, but like these guys hold the key, you know, guys like Gabriel Hughes, Zach Veen, hold the key to Rockies' excitement.
Yeah.
Not necessarily production, not necessarily, you know, winning 80-plus games, whatever it ends up being. But, like, these guys are the guys that if people are slipping away from Rockies fandom, which I never will, but I know some people are on that, like, these are the guys that are like, all right, I need to watch. I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
And like a guy like Gabriel Hughes, even his own teammates, you know, Randall Grichuk said that he like planned on watching this game. Like he wanted to be around for it. So that's cool. A guy that can start, you know, as a 21-year-old and be already, you know, an exciting thing to watch for a player that's been in the league for 10 plus years.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. It was must watch. It was must watch pitching. Gabriel Hughes versus the Dodgers.
He's a thick boy. His thighs are serious. I need his quad workout. That's all I'm saying.
Well, next time I see him, I will ask him. We did get to meet a bunch of these draft picks at the park last year, and they were all just such nice dudes. But yeah, some of them just like, oh my gosh, like you ate your vegetables. You're enormous.
Yeah. Do you think like a guy like Gabriel Hughes, that's, you know, obviously a high level top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think like sometimes from a Rockies perspective, they enjoy going to being a Colorado Rocky because it's tougher to pitch here. There's no way around that.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy could conceivably make his way up quicker and make his way to the major leagues quicker, which is like a thing that, you know, obviously you want to be dialed in as much as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
But pitching, I mean, a guy can have a 7 ERA in AA and go to AAA and have a 2 ERA. It's just so random week to week and who they're facing. But I do think it serves as an opportunity for some of these guys. Like, yeah, obviously his dream was probably to just be drafted in general. But he's like, hey, there's, you know, I don't have a, you know, a Kershaw, whatever ahead of me, essentially.
Yeah.
Like the Rockies have great, you know, good major league pitching, but nothing like nobody's spot is like fully safe, you know, maybe Marquez, but that's about it.
You know what? Isn't that so funny how it's like, oh, you know, we don't have the pitching depth that we want to have, but that means that no one's stopping you. No one's stopping you from moving up.
Exactly. It's just like a clear path to the light.
When he's ready, he'll just get to, he'll hopefully just get that opportunity.
Yeah. Maybe our next like John Gray here.
Ooh.
The John Gray reincarnate. Because I know John Gray like made it to the major leagues pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was like I saw him pitching at Oklahoma, and then all of a sudden, like maybe a year or two later, he was a Rocky and he was solid. And
it happens fast.
It does, especially for guys like this.
Yeah, especially in this organization. Speaking of, you know, we mentioned. Okay, so yeah, Zach Veen and Drew Romo both reassigned to minor league camp. We got this news like minutes before the show started. Like this just happened. We just got the email. But so I'm kind of going by. I'm looking at how, because Thomas Harding, he's, you know, got his pulse on the Rockies. He's down there. He knows what's going on. It seems like, yeah, the Rockies wanted these guys to get as much of a taste of the big leagues in spring training as they could in case we would see them there very soon. But yeah, they could still be called back in for Cactus League games too. But I'm a little surprised that they got reassigned to minor league camp.
Yeah, so you'll have to explain this to me. What, like, when they're all in the same area, what mm-hmm. does this mean for them? Like, I understand the whole, like, you're not technically on the major league roster anymore, yeah. but does it change what they do day to day now? Or are they like...
I think it does change what they do day to day. I think they're just working out with, you know, more of the minor league guys.
They probably won't
be in as many, you know, the major league games, but they can still be involved in those. They can still get called up for those games.
Got it. So when we're getting closer to, like, I mean, it's only 10 days away now.
So the start of the season is 9 days away.
Wow. 9 days.
9 days away. The Rockies will be in San Diego getting ready to play actual meaningful
crazy.
Baseball.
Where is this year going? It's almost already April. But yeah, so they kind of just are essentially cutting. This is like roster cutting area for the next week
or
so.
It's time to trim.
It's trimming time, and it's just
spring
had to be
cleaning.
Hey, there you go. First day of spring cleaning, Zach Veen down to reassignment. Unfortunately.
Yes. Some good news, though. Randall Grichuk is apparently improving. He is getting better. He is recovering from a bilateral sports hernia surgery. And he's been doing, he's been taking some BP on a machine, but he'll be ready for live BP soon and game speed at bats. There's no target date, though, for when he'll start. Probably sometime in April, but we don't know for sure.
Love to see that from Grichuk, but
he
is a guy that, with how good defensively he is and how quick he moves defensively, that's an injury that you're like, I don't want to push that one.
Yeah.
Like, hernia is obviously no fun, but like if you're Bartolo Colon getting a hernia, it's not like that concerning, but a guy like Randall Grichuk, you don't want to push that.
Yeah, I want him to heal up nicely.
The signing of Profar, like I mentioned earlier, is going to help to not necessarily be like, hey, we need you now.
Yeah.
You know, give it some time.
Let's talk about Profar with you, because Patrick and I, of course, talked about this yesterday. But what an interesting move, considering all of there's so much young talent that is ready to, you know, be an everyday player. And now we've got just like all these pieces kind of clogging it up.
Yeah, we just have grabbing these random puzzle pieces off shelves.
Yeah.
So I've always been this way with the Rockies and teams in general is, yes, you want to, you know, we have an idea that the Rockies aren't going to be great this year, but they're young. So it's at least they're young and not as good versus being old and not as good. That's always better. But I firmly believe that in order to make those young guys better, it's not necessarily just throwing them out there and saying, hey, here you go. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, this guy has, you know, played in a World Series. This guy's been like played serious baseball for a long time, was a great player for, you know, 5 to 6 years, maybe on the downswing of his career. But it's so much better for those guys to not be just thrown into the fire right away and have the opportunity to start here or there, or when Buddy thinks it's a good matchup, or, you know, whatever he feel like he knows better than I do, of course. Yeah. But like, I think having guys like Profar, guys like Bryant, I always love even Moustakas right now. Like, I love the high profile signings for the Rockies because it's names, you know, names always help. No matter how good or bad they are.
What do they help? Do they help the young guys get a better taste of what they're supposed to be doing in the majors? Do they help attendance? What do they help?
I think all of the above. Like, honestly, I will be more excited to go to the ballpark to see. Now, in 2 years, it could be like, okay, I wish Zach Veen would have played 2 years ago, or, you know, X player. But right now, it's like, okay, we got Chris Bryant, Mike Moustakas, and Jerickson Profar in the lineup. If you would have told me the Rockies had those dudes 3 years ago, I'd be like, are we, like, winning the World Series? Like, what is going on? You know, so that to me, that just, like, pushes it over the top to see, like, hey, we're still going to see some good baseball players, and it gives the other guys an opportunity to learn how to be in the locker room. How, you know, Chris Bryant's an ultimate pro, seems like it. Jerickson Profar, I don't know for sure, but, like, Mike Moustakas, these guys have played in serious, like, important games, mm-hmm. and whether or not the Rockies will have any of those this year, we don't know, but it's building towards something versus just throwing out a bunch of young guys that haven't played before and saying, hey, try to win baseball games. Like, these guys can show them winning baseball.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. That's the one silver lining of all of this.
Yeah. And I mean, I actually dropped this in the chat the other day. Mm-hmm. Being the silver lining guy that I am for the Rockies always.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Like, if Moustakas and Profar have really good seasons, turn them into some prospects. Like, I don't see the harm in those guys.
That would mean that the Rockies would have to make a trade.
Well, yes.
What do we say on the show? Hoarder energy.
They do have serious hoarder energy. But, you know, things can change. People change.
Technically. This is like,
philosophy can change. Let's put it that way.
Philosophy can change. I would love to see some changes. Yeah. You know what? You know what I love about this season? The other big silver lining? It's the 30th anniversary season.
Love a good anniversary season.
We love an anniversary season. And also, the Rockies have been inviting these stars of the past out to spring training. They are interacting with guys. We are getting to hear from them. But the latest visitor of Rockies spring training, one of your faves, Brian Fuentes.
One of the nastiest closers, like three quarters release. I emulated him as a kid. I was like, because I couldn't throw it very hard in high school.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have to be different. And I started like this 3/4 release. My coach, like, this is, God, 15 years ago now. Yeah. But my coaches didn't even like know how to coach it. They were just like, it's working. It's the pitch is moving differently. Like, people weren't used to it, so I ended up being okay. And I could throw probably 15 miles an hour slower than our really good pitchers. But he was so fun to watch, and that his slider would start on a lefty on the inside of the plate, and the catcher would have to catch it in the right-handed batter's box. So
that is movement.
Fuentes was fun, and he was a great, I mean, just a nasty closer for a couple years.
Yeah. Do you want to hear what he had to say down at spring training?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Rockies did a great job putting this together, by the way. They've been doing such a good job getting us all these great interviews. But Alyssa, are we ready to roll that? All right, here we go.
I'm Brian Fuentes.
Fastball on the ground, a second.
I pitched for the Rockies organizations from 2002 to 2008.
Here's the 1-2. He's got it!
Mostly out of the bullpen, all out of the bullpen. Closed for 5 years.
And the Rockies win it 3-1.
A couple months ago, Bill Schmidt called me up, asked me if I'd be interested in coming out and getting around the guys, getting back in spring training and just having a presence here at Rockies camp and working with some of the minor league guys. But it's good to have 4 pitches. I mean, even if you're going to, you know, only incorporate a couple of them when you need that third pitch, mix it in there. And he was fun to watch, 12. He was fun to watch throw yesterday.
What was your first year?
My first camp was, I don't know, like probably 98. Yeah, it's intimidating. You're trying to, you know, it's hard not to try too hard and explain to them my journey and what it took to get to where I got and play in the major leagues for an extended period of time.
They've defeated the Minnesota Twins tonight.
Have an opportunity to coach some guys that are more refined and don't need major mechanical fixes has been it's been outstanding. The talent, you know, that I've seen is off the charts. And these guys have taken me in and been responsive to that, and it's been fun. But after doing it for so long, like, you know, my performance had diminished. You know, I realized I wasn't performing at the level I was used to performing at. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want to hang on and like just try to like get by. You know, I want to be good. So I was, you know, like I said, it's on a self-evaluation. I was like, it's time. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that. I miss this, you know. I miss the locker room, you know, the road trips and the flights and the hotels and the dinners. And I mean, you're not going to get that ever again, man. So enjoy that. Enjoy the brotherhood, man, because it's, once it's gone, it's gone. And to come back out and to not have to compete, you know, like to not have to, you know, do all the hard work that these guys are doing now. It's nice just to watch and watch baseball at a high level and get to input, you know, my opinion here and there and just get in the dirt and be around the guys, the camaraderie, the brotherhood that these guys have for one another. And just to sit back and watch that really brings back good feelings.
Oh, are we back? We're back.
We back.
Brian Fuentes. What a time.
Kind of a character.
Kind of a character, yeah. It's like, okay, big hotel guy. Let's go.
I'm a big hotel guy as well, so I
guess. Who isn't? All right, we're going to talk about the WBC in just a second. But first, did you know, Spencer, you can watch the WBC here at the DNVR Bar on the corner of Colfax and York tonight.
Final tonight. Game sound on. It's going to be a good time.
That's key. Game sound on. We have a lot going on here tonight.
We do.
We have a rugby meetup.
Yes, and World Baseball Classic.
And the World Baseball
Classic.
It's
like no quote-unquote Denver sports teams in season right now, Avs or Nuggets, still pack out the bar.
I love that. We're going to. And if you're a member, if you're a diehard, you are going to enjoy 15% off of your entire tab here at the DNVR bar. You are getting 20% off of anything at dnvrlocker.com. You're getting 20% off of our tailgates, off of our party buses. And we have some good ones coming up too. Like we've got a Rapids takeover coming up. We have a Rockies takeover on April 29th. Head to our Twitter.
I cannot wait for that.
Oh my gosh.
I will not be drinking.
No?
That was sarcastic.
Oh.
It's a Saturday at Coors Field. That is my number one priority.
I mean, I already told Patrick, I'm like, I'm calling out sick so I can go to this, like, just as a person who can down some beers on the bus.
This is the Susie Hunter outside of DNVR takeover.
Yes. Oh, it's going to be good. But listen, you are also going to get a free t-shirt at that event.
Yep.
But also, if you're a member, you're getting a free DNVR shirt every freaking year. You're getting extra raffle tickets at all of our watch parties, and you're getting access to our diehards only Discord, where we say the craziest stuff in a chat that is all off the record. It's always a good time. Are we allowed to talk about how like Backus and Shanker are coming to visit us today?
I think so.
Because
your husbands are coming.
My husbands are coming. But listen, we love Backus and Shanker because when you get hurt, Backus and Shanker, they are here to help because Backus and Shanker wins for Colorado families. This is where you sing my Backus and Shanker theme song. Do you know it?
I do not.
Backus and Shanker.
Is that the song you sing outside my office every day from Backus like 12 Shanker. To 3?
Yeah.
that one. Got it. I don't have the voice you do, though, so I'm not going to. I'll let you have that one.
Thank you. You know, not with that attitude.
Well, on camera, I don't have that one.
You don't want to give it a try?
Backus and Shanker.
Honestly, he sounds just like me. I like how you like closed your eyes to like really get into it.
Exactly. I just had to get in the moment. But now I'm out of it.
You roasted the occasion, and I appreciate it. And Backus and Shanker also rises to the occasion when they are helping people who are seriously injured in Colorado, and they've been doing it for more than 25 years, and it's totally free until they win money in your case. There is no upfront fee to speak with them about your case. No fee unless they win you money. And they've done it a lot. They've won over $1 billion for their clients. And now they've got locations all over Colorado, including Denver, Aurora, Englewood, Fort Collins. And they've got the strength and the power to win your case with more than 30 lawyers and 100 staff. They just, it's all hands on deck for them. So yeah, bottom line, Backus and Shanker, they're going to help you win all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, rideshare incidents, if you're a pedestrian in an accident, trucks, all of the above, they can help you win even if you're injured at work. So call them at, it's all Daza's, 222-2222 to find out if you have a case for free because Backus and Shanker wins. And you know what helped me win at fantasy baseball? RotoWire. I'm such a RotoWire girly.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's a great website.
Oh my gosh. It's just got like all of the stuff. I'm actually a big fan of their podcast too. But it's baseball season. It is fantasy draft season. And you can get all of the news latest news and numbers on the Rockies and every team across the league. And RotoWire has been doing this for more than 25 years. They've got cheat sheets, custom player rankings to fit all leagues, all of the different types of leagues, rotisserie leagues, points, 10 category, 30 category. There's so many different types of fantasy leagues. It's so crazy. But their sports experts analyze the wild world of baseball stats for you. And there's a lot of numbers. Listen, we're not all Encyclopedia Patrick. Sometimes I need a little help.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, trying to get to that level it's too much work for me.
It's so much work. They've got mock drafts galore. They've got an Ask the Expert function. They have premium fantasy draft kits. It is just, the resources they have are just absolutely unreal. And it's not just baseball. They've got fantasy advice for all of the sports, from XFL, NASCAR, soccer, golf.
Golf.
I didn't even realize that fantasy golf was a thing.
It is a thing. I'm actually in a couple of fantasy golf leagues. It gets intense. It's fun.
It sounds crazy. I feel like all fantasy leagues get intense.
Yeah. When you're going for, you know, a little bit of money and you have like a group of guys or girls that are all really invested, it makes it a lot more fun. You get a little, you know, shit talking.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, you know that baseball players get that into fantasy football to the point where it gets to violence.
Exactly.
It doesn't need to get like that.
No, it can be chill.
It can be chill.
It can be a nice conversation. Until you get upset. Until feelings get hurt.
Feelings get hurt. Faces get hurt. We don't want to see that happen. So just win your league and use RotoWire to make that happen. So yeah, for a limited time, RotoWire is offering a free 2-day trial for our listeners. So go to rotowire.com/DNVR to register. No commitments. You don't even have to put a card down to get that 2-day trial. That's unreal. That's how you know they know they've got a good product. So yeah, take a peek behind that paywall, and when it's done, you can decide if you want to put a card down, if that RotoWire package is right for you. I kind of like that. You'd never hear about trials like that.
No, where you get to actually use the product, figure out if it's good for you, and then just continue on.
Yeah, love it. So yeah, rotowire.com/DNVR. For that trial. I the other day I got a Cameo request for someone wanting advice for their fantasy baseball draft.
What did you give them? Draft all the best players?
Actually, no, they were actually specifically looking for which Rockies should we draft.
They're like sneaky. If they're playing at Coors Field, like you can have any guy that starts 90% of the games and you feel good about having him on your fantasy roster. Pitching wise,
I can get you the numbers that you want to get.
You know what's a sneaky play every year? Is the Rockies closer. Mm. Like some other teams, they do the weird opener, they have random closers. Like Daniel Bard will get 35 to 40 saves this year.
I hope the WBC didn't break him.
No, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I hope so. I hope he doesn't have the yips again and then like... he's back now. I just want him to be back. He was the comeback player.
Right. He's one of those, like, you never know what you're going to get from him. Mm-hmm. And he definitely makes the ninth inning interesting all the time, but gets the job done more often than not. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Rockies closers are always a sneaky, like, nobody thinks of them. Because you don't think, oh, they're not going to win them any games or this or that. But, like, every year I'm always in on a Rockies closer.
So sneaky.
I was on the Adam Ottavino train in fantasy before people even knew who he was.
Oh my gosh, Adam Ottavino.
Miss him.
I don't think we'll see Daniel Bard closing out this WBC championship game, but it's going to be a crazy one. So, I mean, this is what we've always wanted. We're going to potentially have a game where we see Ohtani pitching against Mike Trout. This is what we asked for, and we could get it tonight.
This worked out perfectly. The game last night was insane.
Oh, it was nuts. And
anybody that is, like, downplaying the WBC, other than an Astros fan right now, get bent. For them, I could see a bit of anger, a bit of sadness coming from it, from the Altuve thing. But overall, like, these players, it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe, you know, Patrick's the spreadsheet king. Maybe we get him to do, like, a the first week of the season, we check the stats between WBC players and non-WBC players to see if, like, because this is, they went from spring training to, like,
real
100 real quick.
Intense competition.
Yeah, and, like, even in the MLB season, like, yeah, the 30th, the game on the 30th for the Rockies means infinitely more than the game on the 28th, but still, you're going to lose, every team loses 60 games-ish. So, you know, it's not like the end of the world, but these games now, it's like, it's everything they got. Like, you see the emotion from Trey Turner, all the players on the Team USA, like, they're playing serious baseball in March, and I don't think, you know, obviously every 4 years they're kind of used to that, but a lot of these guys haven't played before, so it's it's insane to think about, like, how much more ready they'll be for the season.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing a lot of, I mean, we're seeing stars that we don't have in the U.S., like, Japan is just, I mean, their pitching was insane last night. That is, I really thought Mexico had it until the relievers for Team Japan just absolutely wiped the floor.
Yeah, and then, you know, Otani leadoff double to start the rally, and it's just so,
it was a,
like,
very late rally. I really thought Team Mexico had it.
Yeah,
and actually, like, Yaya's super mad at me because he's like, "You jinxed it." Like, no, I like, didn't.
I just analyzed.
I was looking at the situation at hand at that time. I'm not the one who gave
just
up.
Just because
game.
You're mad at me, don't attack me.
Yeah, he's mad at himself more than anything.
He's mad at the world.
Oh my god. Is Yaya even working today? I just, like, kind of don't want to, I don't want to see him today.
He's off. You're in luck.
Yes.
Give him a cool off period.
No one, yeah, no one show him this this clip.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
just,
show him.
Just don't watch the Rocky show from Tuesday.
Yes. It looks like Merrill Kelly is gonna get the start for Team USA today.
Still a Diamondback, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He gave the Rockies some fits. But do they, now I'm going to sound bad because I haven't watched a ton. I've watched the World Baseball Classic, but not, like, locked in for every single game. Mm-hmm. Do they treat it like a normal game where it's like, hey, he could go five or six? Or since they're in this, like, state of still kind of ramping up to the season, is it like, you got 3 to 4,
yeah,
and then we're going to go.
Yeah, he's not going to pitch like a regular starter. It's going to be significantly less innings.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not going to pitch a complete game in the WBC.
Right.
No one would let him do that.
No, exactly.
That would be wild.
You got the, you know, Diamondbacks manager on the phone to the Team USA manager, like, hey, dude, get this guy out of here.
Like, what if I just leave him in?
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not happening. But I'm not sure right now who is starting for Team Japan. But Otani, it's not going to be Otani, but he did say he will be ready to come in relief. He is ready for whatever they need from him.
He's the Madison Bumgarner World Series guy. Like, you want to pitch the 7th, 8th, and 9th? Do it. You want to start this game? Do it. You want to pitch the 4th through 7th and be shut out? Do it. So he's just incredible, just like as an athlete. Like, he's quickly, like, vaulted himself to, you know, you always talk about certain athletes, like, could they play other sports? Now, is he going to be a good baseball player, football player? Probably not. But the amount of talent he has on both sides of the ball, if you will, you just don't see that in pro sports.
Yeah.
And, like, he is a top five overall athlete maybe in the world today, and maybe even higher.
Yeah.
Top five is just being careful of guys like LeBron and things like that. But, like, it's watching him do what he does is so insane to me. And I had him in fantasy, and it was just like everybody in the league was like, "Oh, that's smart," because I got a starter, and then I also got a guy that hits bombs, and you know, is just an all around great hitter.
We always say this: we've just never seen anything like him, and we may never again, or maybe we will. I don't know. Because did you see Japan's starter last night?
I did not.
Roki Sasaki. So he's a huge star in Japan. He can throw as hard, maybe harder than Otani. He is.
Really?
He is something. He's 21 years old. But he has such a sad story. So that his first start in the World Baseball Classic, that was on March 11th. That was the anniversary of that 2011 tsunami in Japan. And he lost his father, his grandparents, his home was swept away. So, like, such a tragic, tragic story. And then he found baseball as a kid and in interviews back then, he said, yeah, like, I'm happiest when I'm playing baseball. Like, so it was such a great outlet for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Experiencing and that grief. Horrible tragedy.
Right, and now he's going to turn that into hopefully his life and his career.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I hope it would be so fun if he came to the U.S. and soon.
Yes, exactly.
That would be sick.
Yeah, just adding those guys in where, like, you don't know exactly what you're going to get from him. But as you see with, like, games like this, obviously Ohtani's a huge part of the, you know, the national team. But, like, guys that aren't maybe not necessarily MLB level players yet, mm-hmm. ramping up and getting the competitiveness to go against the guys like Trout and Arenado and stuff. It's these not really a crossover event. I don't know exactly what to call it. But when you get, like, the World Cup in soccer or, like, this in baseball, you get guys that are not necessarily the highest level athletes, but they get to compete against the quote unquote highest level athletes from America and around the world. And that ramps their game up just even that much more.
It does. Yeah. And I said this before. Yeah. There's so many stars out there that we don't know about because they're not in our bubble.
Exactly. We're just living in our own little happy MLB bubble here.
So freaking cool. So freaking cool. We've got some tweets about the WBC. I love this quote from Adam Wainwright. He said, I've never had this much fun playing baseball in my entire life. That's a statement
from him. Yes.
Cause he's been doing this for a long time.
He has, he has, and he's played in World Series and mm-hmm. he's been around for a lot, like as long as I've been a baseball fan, Adam Wainwright's been a Cardinal.
He's just our rock.
Yes, he's our baseball rock.
But I think a Cubs fan tweeted this out, but he said, in other words, St. Louis is boring.
Strong agree.
It might be.
Well, have you seen, though, like they obviously got their football team taken from them.
Yes.
The Rams moved to L.A. Now they have a XFL team, mm-hmm. and they're like selling those games out.
Really?
Like every other XFL team is the typical, like, it's not the NFL. We'll sell, you know, half the tickets. Stadium's fairly empty. Every game in St. Louis right now, full, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, we have that kind of sports town energy. Denver does. Mm-hmm. Like, we fill up a lot of stadiums, and, like, March Madness being here, we filled up March Madness, and the tickets were, like, insane compared to everyone else. But I feel like St. Louis has that real, like, little brother sports city energy where they're like, no, we love anything that's here. And, I mean, what else is there to do in Missouri?
Facts.
Sports, that's it.
Facts.
That is it.
It's crazy that... That's still crazy to me that the Rams moved back to L.A.
Yeah, I would just be like, if I was a Rams fan, I'd be so... Like, if I was the Broncos just moved to, like, Vegas or something, I'd be so sad.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be a fan still.
I don't think I would.
I know, if
the Eagles left Philly, I'd just be like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, I don't like football anymore.
You're the Montana Eagles now, and you're like, nah, I don't care.
I'm not going to go to Bozeman.
Yeah.
For these games. Like, get out of here. Let's get some. I'm looking at the time. Like, ooh, we got to get some ad reads in. Game time. We got to check the prices on game time for these for this WBC final in Miami. They are the hottest ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, shows. I'm trying to get those floor seats for Taylor Swift on game time, but I'm going to wait a little closer to first pitch.
Yeah, I figured out the game time model.
Ooh.
I've done a lot of field research, if you will.
Okay.
The morning of is like the best time, because if you can wait till, you know, that's the pitch. You can wait till closer to first pitch or closer to game time. But in the morning of is like when the most tickets are available.
Yeah.
So you get your choice, and then usually discounted prices, because people wake up, they're like, oh, I need to get these tickets sold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drop the prices, you get the best deal, and then closer towards the game, you're like, ah, but you don't get as many choices. You may get the best deal then, but you get your better choice of seats morning of.
I like this. I mean, yeah, let's think about it psychology-wise. You wake up, you know you can't go to a game, and you haven't sold your tickets yet. Yeah, you're going to put the price down, because you're probably too busy to be checking it all day.
Exactly. You just want them to sell right there and leave them. So yeah, morning
look
of.
At us breaking the we figured it out. We cracked the code. That's the word I'm looking for. Am I awake today? My gosh. But listen, game time. absolutely incredible. Get the seats that you never dreamed you thought you could get, even courtside behind home plate. Even WBC, those biggest last-minute price drops, you'll find them the day of. You can save up to 60% off when you wait closer to first pitch. Crazy deals. But yeah, join more than 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats for all of your favorite events. Use the link in our description to save and also to let them know that you heard about them through us. And FOCO. I have no transitions anymore. They're gone. I did a few. I don't. But FOCO, you know we love FOCO. We're a FOCO fan. We got the bobbleheads on our set. This is incredible. I got that big blanket sweatshirt that I wear all the time.
I have a Rocky straw hat that I almost wore down here, but it would have clashed with my shirt.
Oh, okay.
The purple clashes, so I need a purple shirt or a white shirt.
Yeah.
And then I'll wear it.
Honestly, or if you just had a Hawaiian shirt of any color.
Yes.
It just would have gone.
Exactly.
FOCO has great gear. They've got like the statement pieces that you can wear to a game. They've got all kinds of gear, stuff that will actually match your other wardrobe.
Yes,
and they've
exactly.
got the bobbleheads. We love the bobbleheads. But yeah, you're going to find merch, accessories, and you're going to find apparel, toys, not just for the Rockies, but for all the teams. And they always have your back with Colorado Sports. We want to have yours too, so you can use the link in the description, but use code DNVR2 for 10% off. I can see that the Broncos guys really want to go live, so we'll give them chomping at the bit. Is there Broncos news today?
So much. They got a new punter.
A new punter? Huh. Hmm.
A new old punter.
I can't wait to hear it. But before we close out the show, I do want to show y'all the Yard Goats home ballpark. So I don't know if you heard, but they have a new name. They changed from Dunkin' Donuts Park to just Dunkin' Park.
Same spelling.
Same spelling. Yeah, because like Dunkin' Donuts rebranded a couple years ago. Now Dunkin' Donuts Park is finally rebranding the ballpark to just Dunkin' Park. But they got a new coffee cup. There's a coffee cup on top of the scoreboard.
I love
that.
It
used to be a hot coffee cup, and steam would come out of it whenever a yard goat hit a home run.
It's incredible.
They redid the coffee cup, though, because it said Dunkin' Donuts. Now it says Dunkin'. Now it's an iced coffee.
Oh, iced coffee culture is taking over the world.
So, like, look at this.
So does it, like...
I don't...
Does it, like, splooge out of the top when they hit a home run?
It does it what out of the top? Does it do what? I don't know if steam is still going to come out
of it.
Well, it
can't.
I actually didn't
ask. It's because it's iced.
Is steam going to... I'm going to text him. Is steam going to come out for home runs? It is... It's technically the same coffee cup, though. It's just repainted to look like an iced coffee. I did find that out. But... That could hold, that cup, in theory, could hold 3,500 gallons of liquid.
That's a lot. That's a lot of liquid.
That's a lot. Do you know my, do you know the story about the rally gallons?
I do not.
Huh. Ooh. Okay, so the Yard Goats at their park, their beers are huge. So, like, their small beers are, like, 16 ounces. The large beer, 32 ounces. That's a quart. You drink four beers at a game, you just drank a gallon of beer. Congratulations. You're going to want to die tomorrow. But I was in my 20s when the Yard Goats started, so, like, I could do that.
Yeah, sounds like my kind of beer place.
Yeah, so I, you know, did the math. I was like, okay, if I do a rally gallon every game, it'll take me 350 games to... Oh, no, it would take 3,500 games. I can't do math. Please never ask me to do math. Why is this happening? But, yeah, it would take 3,500 games to...
It's like almost a lifetime.
It's kind of a lifetime of games. I can't believe I just did like the saddest math in the world. Am I dumb?
I wasn't even like, I was just going along with it. I was like, oh yeah, 350 games. That's almost a year, maybe two.
We've mentioned this before. We're not supposed to do numbers. We're talent.
Exactly. Not math guys.
We're
or
not
girls.
Math guys. All right. We're going to close this show so the Broncos can do their thing. But rugby meetup tonight, that's at 5, right?
5 p.m.
They get in at 5. WBC is at 5. Nuggets, there's a Nuggets party bus on
Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Rapids takeover on April 1st. Still tickets for that. Rockies takeover on April 29th. We've still got tickets for that. Spencer, where can we follow all of your nonsense on social media?
@BigDriveSpence on Twitter. And the golf account is @BigDriveEnergy.
Nice. Awesome. You can follow me. Actually, first, follow at @DNVR_Rockies for all the latest Rockies updates. We'll be live tweeting the WBC tonight. You can follow me at @TheSusieHunter on all platforms. And Spencer, you know what they say about me closing out a show.
Yeah, something about you can't do it.
I don't know how, so I'm just going to walk off the set. No, I'll see you guys. Actually, Patrick will be back tomorrow. I won't. I'll see you guys next week. I'm going to Vegas.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Bye.